Once again, it's the hour of the time, the only hour that ever was or ever will be, for during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. I'm William Cooper.
Sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to hurt somebody. may call me Perry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yeah, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Who do you serve? That's a wonderful tape that was sent to us, and somehow this tape has gotten separated from the package that it came in, and we don't know who to credit. We don't know who sang it. We don't know who wrote it. If you're out there listening and you sent us this tape, you need to call us right away and let us know how to get in contact with you, because our listeners are going to want a copy of this. I don't know if it's been released. I don't know if they can get it in the record store. That particular song is entitled Gotta Serve Someone, and it's great. It is really, really good. That's super top-notch quality recording. And you're going to hear the other side of the tape right after the break, and it's just as good or better than what you just heard. So if you are the artist, if you had anything to do with the tape that you just heard that somebody sent us, we don't even know who sent it, please contact us so that we can properly credit the people who need to be credited. And we know we're going to get requests for it, because when we do something that's really good like this, people always write or they call and they want to know how they can get a copy. So let us know, and please do it quick so that we can tell our listeners how to get a copy of this tape. Folks, tonight we're just going to kick back and take it easy. I'm going to read some letters from some of you. I think last week or 2 weeks ago or sometime I told you the problem that we were having with the mail. This show has just taken off. It's become such a success that we were overwhelmed. We know why Stan retired. Stan was up to his eyeballs in mail and telephone calls and duping tapes, and the guy was overworked. And, of course, Stan never complains. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew it, but we know it now. We brought in Tom Swift, my new research assistant. We've recruited my wife, and even my three-year-old daughter is helping. We've put in place the procedures to be able to handle what's coming in now. We bought the new tape duplicator. Cost us $2,300, and it's going to be a long time before we pay that off. So please start ordering tapes. We've got to pay for that. That really put a big dip in the bankroll. I'm telling you right now, folks, we're in big trouble if we don't get that thing paid off real quick. We've got bags of mail everywhere. The dining room table is covered with mail. There's mail in boxes sitting everywhere. There's mail in corners. We're getting it processed as quickly as possible. Yesterday, we did 200 requests for information and got them sent out. All the back orders for tapes are done. They're gone. They're sent UPS insured. One thing we had to fall back on, folks, we told you we were going to send you TDK tapes. We can no longer do that because of the cost involved. But we did get the very best bulk tape deal, the best quality in bulk that we could find. And it's with a company out of Dallas, Texas. When you hear the tapes, you're going to be pleased. They're just as good as the TDK tapes. I guarantee you that. We just got them a lot cheaper. So, but they're the same quality, so don't worry about it. When you get them, listen to them, and you're going to be pleased. And just like everything else, we back it 100%. Now, folks, I've got to tell you, we've had to change a few things. We can no longer send out information packets for free. Something's got to pay for all this postage. I mean, we've got, you wouldn't believe our postage bill now, just answering these things. It's incredible. So from now on, when you send a request for the information packet, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get all of the stuff that we have offered here. You're going to get a listing of it, a brief description, the price, for CADU members and non-members. You're going to get a complete list of tapes of the hour of the time that are available, complete list of video documentaries that are available. You're going to get a sheet that has my complete background and bio and what the intent of what we are doing really is. What are we about? And all of this comes in your info pack, but you're going to have to, beginning tonight, we cannot, except for the ones we already have. Anything postmarked after tonight will not be sent unless you send a number 10 business size envelope. That's a number 10 business size envelope, stamped. Put a stamp on it, 29 cents. Self-addressed stamped envelope, number 10, business size. Okay? Send it along with $2 contribution to help us handle all this postage and handling, and we're going to have to hire somebody within a couple of days to come in here and do this, and we're going to have to pay them at least minimum wage, and that's more money on top of that. So if you folks will help out and just do what you're supposed to do, we'll be able to get caught up on everything. Now, for those of you who are calling and writing asking about the newsletter, folks, since we did the last newsletter, we have been totally absorbed with this program, with Waco, Texas, with the mail. We've been swamped with trying to handle everything, and we're just now getting it to where we can properly handle it. And I want to apologize to everyone out there who's been concerned and been waiting and wondering, and everything else has just come to a complete stop. Now, when you joined CADU, you were guaranteed 12 issues of the newsletter. Now, I hope all of you understand, the newsletter is not scheduled and never was. It is not a scheduled newsletter. It doesn't come out monthly. It doesn't come out bi-weekly. It doesn't come out weekly. It doesn't come out bi-monthly. It comes out when we do it. Everyone who's joined CADU will get 12 issues of the newsletter, no matter what. So don't worry about it. You're going to get your newsletters, and they're going to be chock full of information that you can't do without. We guarantee you that. So, let's get into the show now. I'm going to read some mail, answer the mail on the air, and talk to you guys out there. Wonderful people send us some wonderful things. Wonderful postcards and letters and packets and packages full of information and documents and all kinds of things. Of course, most of the people who send information to CADU members, some are not, but it doesn't matter. It's wonderful. It's working. Everything that we put in place is working. The only hang up is here. We did not anticipate the popularity of this radio show, nor the tremendous response asking for information and all of these other things. So if you'll bear with us, we're handling that on this end. You take care of your end and everything's going to be okay. This is a postcard, and doesn't say who it's from, but I want to read this. It's from James in Chicago, Illinois. James in Chicago, Illinois. James says, God bless you and your family, Bill. I've ordered over 2 cases of your books. They go so fast, I don't have one even left for myself. That's a common complaint, folks. James wants to know if he can get a better price somehow. And this is what he says. He says, I give them away, so I'd like to keep my costs down. Been jailed. Recently had my law license suspended. Could you check your zip codes for a 606 blank blank? Any 606 who might be a volunteer helper. I'm acting as a paralegal for political prisoners all over the country. Also, if there are any harmless EBs. We have some people, including me, who would like to meet and ask some questions. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us. I don't know if there are any harmless EBs. I don't even know if there are any harmful EBs. I don't even know if there are any EBs, folks. You're asking the wrong person. I have done a lot of investigations. I found there's no evidence existing on the face of this earth that extraterrestrials are real or that they have ever visited this earth. There's a lot of circumstantial stuff. There's a lot of history that can be interpreted in many different ways. One of the ways it could be interpreted is that ancient man somehow saw something come out of the sky and spoke to whoever was writing in it. It could also be a misinterpretation. But as far as proof that would stand up in a court of law or that anybody can point to and say, EVs exist, they've been here, they're good or they're bad or they're indifferent, it doesn't exist, folks. There just isn't any. James, I think it's admirable, and you are to be commended for acting as a paralegal for political prisoners all over this country. And, of course, like me and like anyone else who steps upon this battlefield and enters the fray, you've been jailed, had your law license suspended, and you're still in the fight. That is to be commended. If I had a medal, I'd hang it around your neck and kiss you on both cheeks, my friend. We need more people like you instead of the vast herd of sheeple out there who are afraid of their shadow. You know, we get people who call us and say that they'd like to talk to me, or they'd like to order some of our information, but they're afraid to put their name and address down. It might get on somebody's list. I got no time for you people. Don't even bother calling me. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to, nothing. You're paranoid. Go lock yourself in the closet. We'll do the fighting for you. If we lose, you're going to suffer. If we win, you're going to get the benefits. We sure could use your help out here, but unfortunately, you got to stand up and be counted. And if you're not willing to do that, then I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear you call and tell me that you'd like to order something from us, but you're afraid your name's going to get on the list. For your information, folks, all of you out there, I want you to understand something. There's only one list, and if you're not one of them, you're on the list. You understand that? You're already on the list. Read my lips, as George Bush would say. New World Order. If you're not one of the controllers, if you're not one of the puppeteers, then you're one of the puppets. So get up off your butts, get out of your closet, stand up here on the battlefield with us, with me, with James, with all the other people who are fighting this battle, and put your ass on the line. If you can't do that, shut up, get out of the way, because we're fighting, and we don't need your impedance or even your input, to tell you the truth, if you're not going to stand up and be counted. It's too late for cowards. It's too late for paranoid freaks. It's too late for all of that stuff. We're losing everything that we care about, and it's because of people who are afraid to stand up and be counted. It's because of apathy. It's because of stupidity. It's because of ignorance. It's because of a lot of things. But I, for one, have no patience with people who want somebody else to save them, and they won't stand up and try and help save themselves. Here's another letter from Daniel in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Dear Mr. Cooper, I am an avid listener and fan of your program. Certain that you are told this quite often, I believe it deems repetition that you are the light of truth amidst a sea of dark ignorance that unfortunately envelops the sheeple of this country and this planet. I have only listened to a few of your programs, but what I have heard has often astounded me, sometimes more out of my former ignorance to the information presented than to the appalling facts themselves. The speech you gave in Philadelphia that aired on June the 21st was inspiring as much as it was chilling. Daniel, you got it wrong. It wasn't Philadelphia, it was Los Angeles. The speech was in Los Angeles, but that's okay. And he goes on to say, unfortunately, I did not tape this speech, though would like to share this type of information with my peers. Please send me the information packet about receiving books, program cassettes, and CAGI. Use my address as it appears at the top of this letter and close this small donation to cover any postage expenses incurred as well as to aid the cause. Daniel, thank you very much for your donation. Believe me, every little bit helps around here, and you are very generous with your $20 donation, which is unusual to say the least, unless we ask for donation for airtime. We usually don't get things like that. So thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, you have done something to help with the problems here, and we really, really appreciate that. Your info packet is in the mail, my friend. It went out yesterday. Let's go to another one here. The next one is from the, looks like the City of Refuge, wherever that is. I just picked these out of a pile, folks. I don't know what's in them. I have not pre-read these letters. I just picked them out of a pile because I wanted them to be indicative of the normal mail that we get. This says, the missing piece of the puzzle. Let me see who's this from. It says, City of Refuge, Pasadena, Texas. This is from Brother Thomas at the City of Refuge, Pasadena, Texas. This is a long letter, so I'm not going to read the whole letter. I just may read the first page. It's about 3, 4, 5, 6 pages long. Brother Thomas says, the missing piece of the puzzle. Dear Mr. Cooper, first of all, let me extend my thanks to you and yours for the courageous effort to awake the slumbering masses. You have been a voice of confirmation for many of us, a sounding trumpet of alarm for the sheeple. I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep without a shepherd. Yes, these scenarios play out over and over again throughout the ages due to our lamentable condition, but only as long as the age of man lasts, thank God. I know you don't claim to be a man of God, nor a prophet, but merely a student of truth. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your perspective, that is, from the viewpoint of the natural man. Yet I myself have a different view of things. I view events from the spiritual perspective, for I can say what many dare not say. I am a man of God, but merely a servant of the only God, the God of the Holy Bible. His name is the Lord Jesus. I also, like you, am an investigator and seek only the truth. Bear in mind, I have as my main source book the Holy Scriptures, yet I have conservatively 6,000 hours of reading and research into history and much of what you have uncovered. Behold, I show you a mystery. That's from the Holy Scriptures. This one obscure verse in the Bible is the missing piece of your puzzle. This short essay will open your eyes, as you will soon see the evidence is irrefutable and the time is at hand. He talks about the abduction reproductive aspect of this UFO thing. Gets a little bit into ufology here. Ufology. Don't want to insult any of the people who chase lights in the sky. The world is falling to pieces around our feet, and there's a whole mass of people out there chasing lights in the sky. I can't go through the whole 6 pages of this, but what he does is connect the UFOs, extraterrestrials, abductions with the Bible, and let me see if I can read the last couple of paragraphs and see if we can get some kind of meaning out of here. This is the last 2 paragraphs. Are you starting to see how these fallen ones have a plan for mankind? But I can tell you, Brother Bill, to fear not, because my God knows all about any devious plan that they would possibly hatch, no pun intended. And it shall all come to naught, as you can see in Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. Their kingdom will most assuredly be smashed. You see, don't stop sounding the alarm, but it is already written and forever settled in heaven. And, oh, Brother Thomas, I have to tell you, that's where you're wrong. The Lord Jesus is almighty and all-knowing and all-powerful. He shall prevail shortly, and I'm glad he had room for me in his kingdom. I would be remiss if I didn't mention to you and your loved ones that there is room for many more, but God leaves this critical choice up to one's will. He spared a fool like me, but I tell you the door is crashing closed at this time and shall soon be too late for most and also unnecessary. But so be it. God knows what he is doing. Signed, Brother Thomas, City Refuge, Pasadena, Texas. Brother Thomas, I have to disagree with you. You see, I'm one of these people who believe, and I believe that it's also substantiated in the books of the Bible, that man has a choice. That man has always had a choice, and that nothing has to be unless man, by his ignorance, his apathy, his failure to act, his failure to obey the laws of God, bring it to be. You see, if that's not true, if man does not have a free will to make a choice between good and between evil, then we have all been the victim of a cruel, cruel joke. For if from the beginning of time everything was fated and all laid out, and there's nothing that we can do to change it, and only a certain number will be accepted to rise up into heaven and sit with Jesus at the right hand of God, then we have been the butt of one of the cruelest, most terrible jokes that has ever manifested. And I, for one, cannot buy into that. I do not buy this stuff that everything is fated. I do not buy that the New World Order has to come into being, we all have to be persecuted, and millions of Christians have to suffer and have their heads chopped off, and millions of Jews have to be executed, and millions of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad have to be destroyed so that we can be with Jesus. For that is one method that the secret societies and the New World Order uses to completely neutralize billions of people. These people who believe those things will not fight against the New World Order, and that is what will ensure that the New World Order comes, and that is what will ensure that those people are persecuted and suffer. You see, I will stand on this battlefield until I am dead, and I will fight even afterward in my spiritual life against what I know to be wrong. And I believe that there are millions of people out there listening to this broadcast who are going to be terribly disappointed when they find that their actions are not approved of, are not right, will not be accepted by God. You see, we're here to make a choice. And the reason I played the song at the beginning of this program is because it has a message. You must serve someone. You must serve someone. Serve God, serve the devil, serve man, serve your family. You must make a choice, and you must serve someone. Make your choice. If you're going to serve God, you better get out here on the battlefield with me. And if you think you're going to be raptured to escape all of this, I'm going to hate having to listen to your cries of anguish and your pain when you discover that you're going to suffer right along with the rest of us. Why people fall for all these scams, I don't know. Why would you believe such a thing, that everything is fated, there's nothing we can do? Then when we're born, why don't we just lay down and let it pass? I mean, if there's nothing we can do, why do we care? Why should we strive? Why should we even bother to be good? If you were picked at the beginning of time to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven, no matter what you do. It's all been fated. If you were picked to suffer, you're going to suffer. There's nothing you can do to keep from it. Come on, sheeple, wake up. Your preachers are preaching you into chains. Into chains. And for those of you who are identity and think that your race is the only race that's going to be saved or going to be heaven, are going to be accepted by Jesus or God or Muhammad or Buddha or who, whatever church you belong to, if you're a Christian, I need only say one thing. Quote, "Whomsoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life," unquote. Didn't say anything about color, didn't say anything about race, didn't say anything about what country you live in at all. You're all falling for the scams. You're falling into the trap. You're dividing yourselves. You're laying down on the battlefield so that you can easily be destroyed, chained, enslaved. Brother Thomas, I want you to rethink that. I want you all to rethink it. Don't fall into these traps. Long, long ago, most of the major religions of this earth, including Christianity, has come under the control of Mystery Babylon. And if you just stop believing on faith what your preacher tells you, and begin thinking with your own mind and reading the Bible with your own mind and reading the Quran with your own mind and reading the Bhagavad Gita with your own mind, you'd figure out how they're entrapping us all, and you'd stop falling into it. You'd stop putting your foot on the spring. You would quit listening to these Trojan horses, these traitors, these people who are all preaching the wrong message to all of us. It's time to take a break, folks. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this very short pause. Folks, this is William Cooper speaking to you now for Swiss America Training. These people are our friends. If you ever have a chance to talk to Craig at Swiss America Training, or Gene Miller, or any of the fine people there, you will soon discover that they care as much about freedom, about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They all are devout religious people. They care about their moral upbringing. They want to preserve the life of this program, and they want to help you protect the assets, the things that you've worked for all your life. So call them now. Talk to them. Get to know those people. Believe me, they're worth cultivating as personal friends as well as business partners. Call them at Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. While you're at it, ask for the free report by Harry Figge entitled Tackle the Debt. Mention my name and you'll also get a free newsletter on protecting your future. And folks, by protecting your future, you'll be helping to protect the future of the hour of the time and, of course, our goal, freedom for the world. So do it now. Call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And for people who live in foreign countries and have been asking me how they can call, because we found out you can't call the 1-800 number from a foreign country. So if you live outside the United States of America, please get your pen and paper, because I am now going to give you a number that you can call from Canada or Great Britain or India or any place that you may be at this time. Well, I hope you're ready to write, because here's the number, folks. From outside the United States or inside, if you want to use this number, you can. The number is area code 602-953-6000. That's 6000. Here's the number again, 602-953-6000. Now, if you weren't able to write it down, Swiss America Training in Phoenix, Arizona. Swiss America Trading in Phoenix, Arizona. For those of you who live within the United States, I recommend you use the 800 number. It's 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Outside the United States of America, 602-953-6000. One more time. 602-953-6000. Do it now, folks. Call Swiss America Trading right now. Talk to them. Do something to protect yourself against what's coming for sure in the future. If you've studied the economy at all, if you've studied the Federal Reserve System, if you've studied how we got to this point, then you know that this can't last. It's going to all come tumbling down, and when it does, if you have not protected yourself, you're going to be hurt very badly by this. Very badly. And don't look for spaceships to lift you up into the air or anyone else. It's not going to happen. You're going to go through all this with all of us, whether you want to or not, whether your preacher told you or not, or whether some nut in a spaceship told you or not. It's going to happen, and I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to have to say, I told you so. I don't want to hear the wailing and the crying, and I don't want to feel the tears. But I know that I'm going to, because too many of you are too stupid to understand how you're being used and manipulated and destroyed. Those are harsh words, but it's true. We don't mince words on this show. This is not a popularity contest. I could care less whether you like me or not, but get off your butt and help us save our freedom. That's what I care about. This letter is from Edward in Canada. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to embarrass anybody by identifying them too much. Edward in Canada. Hello, William. I am sending you this letter from Canada. I just thought I would drop you a line and tell you I receive your show of a signal clarity of 60 to 70% on WWCR. I found your programs very interesting and am especially interested in the mystery schools. I recently found a paragraph written in a book making reference to the influence on the upper ranks of the Royal Canadian Military Police, counterintelligence, and regular police trades by Freemasonry. Senior officers and future politicians are members of Masonic lodges in order to control lower police ranks, and it would seem citizens under their control. I am an avid reader, military reservist, security guard, a high school graduate with a course in computer programming. I have knowledge of many subjects and search out obscure facts in these subject areas. I understand you have some reservations about Tom Valentine, Radio Free America. Although I listen to his show, and it is also informative, I find that Tom puts too much faith in politicians and the political process, and he also seems to lack fundamental knowledge in some of the subject areas he covers. In closing, I would like to say I like your show, and if you require any information on Canada, etc., please send a request to Edward in Canada. Thank you, Edward. Those are nice words, and yes, you're finding out about Freemasonry, what we found out and have been disclosing on the Hour of the Time for a long time. As far as Tom Valentine, I have no reservations about Tom Valentine whatsoever. You see, I've done my research. I know who he is and what he's about. I listen to his show when he has good, credible guests, and I listen to the guests, not Tom Valentine. I have told you all. I've told you all. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe nothing until you've checked it out in your own research. The only reason I did the shows that I did, folks, is because all of you out there were believing that this man didn't have any hidden agendas, that this man was a Christian, a religious person just like yourselves, and when he said that I am not credible, he said it many different times over the last few years, and if you've listened to his show, you know that. But he got carried away one night and said I was a CIA disinformation agent, and that made it absolutely mandatory that I read to you for 1 hour his own words so that all of you who never ever do that yourself just sit there and blindly believe like a bunch of idiots. I read to you his own words for 1 solid hour so that you could more intelligently judge whether or not I am a CIA disinformation agent. That's the only reason I did it. I did not personally attack Tom Valentine. I have nothing against Tom Valentine or Radio Free America or any information source for that matter. My rule is and always has been, listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing unless you can verify it in your own research. I don't attack anybody unless they venture on this battlefield and try to shoot me. When they try to shoot me, folks, this is a battlefield. I don't run. I don't dig a foxhole and hide in it. I don't jump behind a tree. If you jump out on this battlefield and you shoot at me, rest assured, you're going to get shot at back. And our research around here is much more thorough, much more right on target than anybody else anywhere. So before you ever jump on this battlefield to shoot at me, you better make sure that there are no skeletons in your closet, that you are who you say you are, that you don't live in a glass house. Because, folks, I'm not going to lay down and die. Not at all. Not in my nature. I'm fighting a battle out here. It's a battle for the forces of good. If you want to fight on the other side, you are going to be a casualty in this war because I am not going to be. Period. This is from Michael in Salisbury, North Carolina. Dear Mr. Cooper, I thoroughly enjoyed your discussion on Charlotte's WRFX last Sunday and have ordered your book through a local bookstore. As an engineer with a strong background in physics and math, I have been trying for years to figure out what propels UFOs. I'm guessing that the craft is surrounded by some sort of high-frequency electrical magnetic field that cancels gravity inside the field. If a magnetic pole of the same polarity as one inside the craft were generated external to the craft, then the propulsion could be explained by magnetic repulsion. The colorful glowing often associated with these objects might then be simply explained by ionization of the air in the vicinity of the craft. Of course, this hypothesis could be totally wrong, but if it is, then there must be some powerful physics principle known only to a few. Michael, that's what I've been trying to tell you for a long time. He goes on to say, I find it difficult to believe that with all the non-government research going on in electronics and physics, that a new type of propulsion system could be discovered and still be kept secret. Well, you're wrong, Michael. It not only can, it has happened, and it happens all the time. You see, if it's in the interest of national security, they can classify your patents. They can confiscate your laboratory, all your equipment, and even you. Even you. It's the law. And all you got to do is go research it, and you'll find that that's true. That's what happened to T. Townsend Brown. One day he was sitting in his laboratory working on this electromagnetic principle that produced an effect of propulsion, and the next thing you know, he was wearing a naval uniform and could never talk about what he had done for the rest of his life. His patents disappeared, except for one. You can find one of his patents that they overlooked or didn't care enough about, didn't think it was dangerous. And, yes, this happens all the time, folks. It certainly does. Anyway, Michael goes on to say, after all, some optimistic physicists are predicting that we will have a theory of everything by the end of this century. I would appreciate your comments about the methods of propulsions of UFOs. Actually, Michael, I did two shows on that, and either you missed them or you don't have a shortwave radio, but you can order the tapes. We've sent your information packet, so you'll see them listed with the tapes of the hour of the time. Continuing, generation of these fields takes energy. Nuclear is a good candidate, since if gravity is nullified inside the field, then the heavy shielding needed to protect the operator is no barrier to propulsion. But in the incident involving Betty Cash on 12/28/80 outside Houston, all three observers of a UFO received what appeared to be radiation burns. Wouldn't the pilots of the 23 helicopters who escorted the craft been exposed to similar radiation? Michael, you're asking the wrong person. I wasn't there, don't know anything about the craft, don't know which direction or the radiation radiates. I don't know the strength of the radiation. I don't know any of that stuff. You need to ask the people who were involved in piloting the craft or flying the helicopters. And, of course, we all know that they're not going to tell you anything, don't they? Don't we? He goes on to say, you mentioned that Germany was developing some kind of UFO during World War II. I've seen references to Foo Fighters, and I'm curious if there was a connection. Yes, there was a connection. Foo Fighter was one of Germany's top secret weapons. They weren't developing some kind of UFO. UFO means unidentified flying object. The Germans who were working on that thing knew exactly what it was. It was not unidentified. It was definitely a flying object. The Foo Fighters, we have come to find out, were a very simple propulsion device. Used a, well, I won't go into that because it takes too long. You can look it up yourself. It's all in the public domain now, but what they would do is fly close to our bombers when they were in formation, and they put out an electromagnetic field which interfered with the electronics on board the our allied aircraft, and literally put them out of commission. They could not continue with the bombing run. Their engines would shut down. Their communications would fail. All kinds of strange things would happen. And yes, it was German. A connection. You said that black helicopters accompany the craft in Area 51. In a recent sightings episode about a UFO incident in West Carleton, Ontario, Diane Labanick said that she had seen black helicopters with dark tinted windows in the vicinity of the incident. Is there a connection, say, between U.S. and Canadian research? Absolutely. Absolutely. Avro is the connection. We believe that the first flying saucers developed in the Western Hemisphere were actually developed in Western Canada in an entire city built by Avro for that purpose, just like the Manhattan Project. The first modern sighting of UFOs, and I say modern sighting because everybody talks about these things that are supposedly happened back in ancient history, that they believe are sightings of UFOs, may not have been, nobody really knows. If these things are time machines, that would explain everything. And believe me, you should start looking at that, folks, because what a concept. What a concept. If we in this time are men, human beings on this earth, at some future date, built a time machine, flying disc, that could go back in time in order to re-engineer our own future. That boggles the mind, doesn't it? I'll tell you something, I'll bet that's close. I'll bet that's very close, if not right on the truth. But everybody's going to say I'm wacko for even mentioning that. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not espousing it. I don't know if it's true or not. I do know that humans have built and flown what the public calls flying saucers, disc-shaped flying craft that are more often than not called UFOs simply because no one will admit to owning or operating them. Therefore, they remain at large unidentified. Okay, Michael goes on to say, let's say that there is a super secret U.S. project that actually flies disc-shaped craft. How do we then explain worldwide sightings over populated areas? Michael, I'm not even address that. I mean, if you can't figure that out, for yourself, how do you explain worldwide sightings over populated areas? It's simple. If the things fly, somebody's flying them there. And I've already proven, I did two video documentaries, Project Red Light and Project Red Light 2. Project Red Light is no longer available, but Project Red Light 2 is. When you get your information packet, if you'd like to order that film, I have already proven that these things exist. They fly. They're being operated by agencies, secret agencies of the United States government in the desert in Nevada. It's no mystery anymore. UFOs are real. Flying discs are real. These craft that do things that are not supposed to be able to be done in the air, according to our laws of physics, are real. And they really do these things. I have filmed them. I have put them into a documentary. You too can go out there after viewing this documentary and stand where I stood and watch them for yourself. But you got to be willing to spend some time, because they don't always fly every night. Sometimes they don't fly for a week. Sometimes they may not fly for 2 or 3 weeks. It's a crapshoot every time you go. But if you're willing to go and spend some time over a period of time, you're going to see these things fly as millions of other people already have. So, you know, don't ask questions like this. Let's say that there's a super secret U.S. project that actually flies disc-shaped craft. That's the answer to your question. How do we then explain worldwide sightings over populated areas? Simple. Somebody gets in it, or it's remote controlled, it lifts off the ground, it goes to a populated area in Brazil and flies over it. He says that I realize you must be extremely busy, but if you can find the time, I'd appreciate it if you could shed any light on my questions. Thanks. I hope I have shed some light on your questions, Michael. And I hope in the future you'll be able to answer some of them yourself. Because most of the questions that we get around here, folks, if you would apply some common sense to the question, you could answer it yourself with no problem. But we will continue to answer as many as we get. What's in the information packets? I will read letters on the air when I feel that it's time to do that, and I think it is now. A lot of you have been waiting for an answer for a long time, and we sure are sorry about that, but I'll tell you, after about another week, that won't happen again, because we're almost, we've got everything going well, so that's not going to be a problem too much longer. I want to read this letter because this is really far out, and I'm not even going to identify the person. This person will know. I will tell you it's from Brownsville, Texas, and that's all. Dear Mr. Cooper, respect to you, sir, for talking to people throughout the country about the New World Order. People should know about what is going on within the system, or should they? I have attended some of your lectures, and the only problem I see is that there is a lot of negative vibes. What about all the positive things about UFOs and their plans? You see, folks, where is this person coming from? UFOs and their plans. He says, I understand that there are very negative forces out there, but shouldn't we be concerned on the good side of things instead of the bad? How does he understand there are very negative forces out there? I mean, Mister, please, I know you're listening. I know you listen all the time. Send me proof that anybody's out there or that they've ever come here, and then we can talk about whether they're negative or whether they're good. But this is bullshit. Total, complete bullshit. And I want you to know it. I'm not trying to insult you or make you feel bad. I know that you will probably feel bad, but somebody has got to set you straight. I'm going to continue with your letter. You and everyone else involved could tell the whole world about what is happening, and I can promise you that no one is going to stand up. There is too much at risk for the ordinary person to stand up against the New World Order. Otherwise, we would be standing up against it right now. It's good that people know what is happening, but that is about it. People are not going to risk their jobs just to inform the world about the New World Order. Maybe some researchers would risk their careers, but then again, that is what a researcher does. Once everyone knows about the truth, then what? Do you think people are going to riot? I hope not. He says, I think not. The LA riots taught everyone a lesson. Even the rioters themselves suffered from the riots. No, I don't want everybody to riot. I don't want anybody to riot. There's so much misunderstanding and blind belief in things that I don't even know why I bother. He says you might want to try to concentrate on the more positive things about UFOs and the planet, because the more you focus on the negative side of things, the harder the suffering is going to be for the ordinary person. Not knowing that you are a slave is one thing, but knowing that you are a slave makes it 10 times worse. I'll tell you what, I can't read any more of this. This letter is going in the trash can. Sorry to hurt your feelings, but this is bullshit, and it's going where bullshit belongs, in the trash. Not knowing you're a slave is one thing, but knowing makes it 10 times worse. Oh, God. Dear Lord, please save me from these people like that. Dear Mr. Cooper, I first heard of you 7 months ago, and you have certainly opened my eyes. For the first time in a long time, I feel that I am really living. I have never been politically active, never cared about world events, and have always generally accepted conventional information services as being reasonably accurate and keeping the country's best interest at heart. I've been a sheeple, as you put it. Thank you for the wake-up call to what's really going on. This is from John in Hickory, North Carolina. John, just being able to write that paragraph that you just wrote is 90% of your battle. See, you've done what I've done. You've looked yourself in the mirror, and you've admitted the state that you've been in, and you're waking up, and you're saying that it's not going to happen to you anymore. And I've said this many times on this show. Until everyone is willing to do that, nothing's going to happen in your life. Nothing's going to change. You have to know when you've been stupid, and you have to be able to admit it. That's the only way that you can ever change things for your future. Most people can't do that. They can't ever admit that they've been stupid or been sheeple or done something wrong. Most people spend 90% of their time covering up so that nobody will know that they're human like the rest of us. So, you, sir, I give you great compliment, admiration, everything. John in Hickam, North Carolina, you have taken the step that you need to take, the giant step that will get you the rest of the way. He goes on to say, I am absolutely desperate for more information you have uncovered. I've become impassioned. Is my interest in what limited research I have done? I'm finding a lot of disinterested and apathetic people around me. I have so very few people with whom to share these ideas with, and I found no one who has dug into these matters in the slightest. Please help me find a meaningful direction for my efforts. Send me whatever information you can. Your info pack is already in the mail, John, so you can be looking for it right now. To be straightforward with you, before I swallow these stories whole, I have to find the same proof that you say you have found. Then I'll be more convincing as I talk to people here in North Carolina, and that's exactly what you should do. No one should believe what I say on this show or what anyone else says anywhere, what you hear, what you read from any source, including your own mother, until you can find proof for yourself. But we don't air anything on this show that's not out in the public domain that you can't lay your hands on for yourself. In many of the shows, I've given you directions, where to go, what to look for, and exactly how to find it. So if you'll just follow directions, you'll get it. You'll get it. Learn how to do research. Go to the library. Ask the librarian how to look for information. You'll be surprised at what you can learn from your local librarian. On several occasions, I have spoken with Alan Handelman, East Coast Live, off the air, and he knows how serious I am. Without people like you, Alan, and a handful of honest people, I would really get discouraged. Again, please help me with the mechanics of getting started in my research. I've already written Stan Barrington. Stan's retired, folks. Don't write Stan anymore. He's retired. And I don't blame him. Boy, I look around at this mail, and I wish I was retired. Okay, that's about it, folks. Good night. God bless each and every one of you. Don't forget to listen again tomorrow night. We'll have another bang-up show. Oh.